Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, fellow travelers across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and we are on episode 8, Empire Day.
So Empire Day premiered on Disney XD on November 17th. 2014. It was written by Henry Gilroy, who at this point I think has written another episode. Was it Droids in Distress that he wrote? Or
I believe so, Droids in Distress, yeah.
So, familiar guy, you know.
He's good writer.
Very good writer. And this is directed by Stephen G. Lee. So the synopsis on StarWars.com states that Empire Day was the day that Palpatine declared himself Emperor of the First Galactic Empire. The day became a holiday marking the rise of the Empire. And in this episode, a refugee of the Empire seeks the Rebels' help to get off the planet with important information. So, this episode really gives us what I think Henry Gilroy does so well in his writing is dealing with internal struggles of characters that is very important. And I think this episode in particular, before we get into it, just kind of raises the stakes emotionally. And it raises the stakes externally, too, with the Empire itself.
And that's... I don't want to go on a tangent here, but that's why I love Henry Gore's writing, is I'm all about internal conflict. External conflict is always, in Star Wars, it's always the Empire or the First Order, whichever, but it's always nice to see characters, especially heroic characters, going through some sort of emotional struggle.
Yeah, and I think it makes them more relatable, and it gives them some flaws. They're not perfect, and I always like the internal struggles of characters, which... Gilroy's not unknown for, because one of the first things he wrote was Nothing to Fear, Batman animated series, which is all about internal struggles.
Yeah.
So, to start this one off, we've got a scene where Kanan is training Ezra to make a force connection with a Lothcat. Side note, up until this point, I had no idea, because of my lack of knowledge of Star Wars, that you would actually make animals do things until this episode.
I think a lot of people forgot about that. I was new to Star Wars, but a lot of Jedi have, I feel like certain Jedi have their own little niche. So some people are good with building ships and more mechanically minded. Some people are better with animals. Like, I know my main man, Obi-Wan. I didn't realize, if you go back and watch some of the Clone Wars and some of Anakin does it, I think Clone Wars, and I want to say the prequels, they make connections with creatures. But I guess I never really
thought about it.
Paid much attention to it.
Gotcha. It's basically Kanan trying to teach him to, I don't want to say control, because control is a very naughty word when you're talking about Jedi, but... trying to make him have a connection, I guess, with this Lothcat, and it just fails miserably. The Lothcat attacks him, and it's sort of like, while Kanan is able to successfully make the connection, and the Lothcat just suddenly becomes a whole different Lothcat. It's like very docile, it's smiling, which is very cute, and it looks like a regular house cat that's just kind of docile or whatever, whereas when it attacks Ezra, it's like that side of a cat.
The hardest part about being a Jedi is, Kanan tells them you have to let your guard down and be willing to attach to others. Now, if you know Ezra, one, he doesn't trust anybody, so he's not willing to go, it's that very steep, slippery slope of attachment with Jedi. You don't want to have too much attachment, but you also don't want to just be
completely closed off.
Because you're connected to everything, every living thing in the galaxy. But Ezra is kind of dealing with, we'll get more into it in the episode, the struggle he's dealing with, it's kind of mirroring the fact that's why he can't really connect
It's sort of like, I think this is the second time I brought up Avatar, but it's like, attachments are keeping you to this plane, and if you're dealing with it something internally, it's going to be very hard to completely let that go, and so you can be able to attach to this cat, And of course, Ezra says... give me the lightsaber, I'll make the connection, which is very dark
side. I'm just done.
Yeah, I'm just done with this cat attacking me. Then he's like, oh, no, I'm sorry, it's just not a good day. And that's when the words Empire Day are first used, which, is the name of this episode.
And as a viewer, you're going, Empire Day, what is Empire Day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as you notice, I think the episode starts with it. You see more Imperial ties flying around. You see more Imperial, like, presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ezra says Empire Day, and that's when him and Kanan spot some ties flying overhead. And so, oh, what's up? And they go to Ojo's pit stop. Good Ojo. I love him. And inside, you kind of see Hera and Zed. I love this scene because it's, like, kind of creepy, but also, like, we're pretending like we don't know each other type of thing, which is weird.
I found it very similar to A New Hope, the Mos Eisley cantina.
Oh, yeah.
When they're trying to, like, maintain a low profile, even though there's people that can possibly report into the Empire.
That's probably what it is, like, there's, like, a lot of Imperials chilling.
Yeah.
Let's just not draw attention. Let's just sit here and not act like we're not rebels. How do we do that?
Yeah. Which, I have a plot hole to this, and that is, they've already caused so much problems on Lothal. How does the Imperials not know that?
But who they are.
Yeah, who they are at this point.
But maybe that's why, maybe that's why they split up. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they haven't made a big presence enough yet. Because really the only person that knows them is Callus at this point.
Well, didn't they, what they do in Sparker Rebellion, though? All of that, stealing those crates and everything?
Oh, yeah, well, that was more on, oh, yeah, they stole the crates, but really that was more like, no, yeah, you're right. They should know who they are at this point, I would say.
I would think, but I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, yeah, they're in this Joe's pit stop. And they've noticed there's a lot of Imperials looking for a Rodian, which I did not know that was a species name, but I'm learning more species as this goes along. And again, they've got, like, this poster that they're kind of carrying around.
Have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy?
Have you seen this guy?
Like SpongeBob, have you seen the Maniac?
Yeah. And Ezra recognizes it as, he's like, oh, Zeebo. He puts that name out there and like, oh, who's that? You know, Ezra obviously knows who they're looking for. And while that's going on, you've got, I guess it's a fighter pilot who's mad because it's Empire Day and they don't have their state-controlled media on the screen. And Joe is like, well, you know, no one's asked for it. Like, no one wants to hear that
crap. We don't want
to
hear that crap.
And, of course, he puts their media on, and it's this whole thing about how we're celebrating the day that Palpatine, I'm trying to think of the words they use. Yeah. Our emperor saved the republic, and we became the empire. And what I noticed, I think StarWars.com has this as well, is the emperor is younger. The emperor is not the old, decrepit person that we see at the end of Revenge of the Sith. He is his younger self, and this is very common in communist, fascist countries. I don't know if I should say a couple of them that are on my head right now, but their leaders want to have this image that they are strong and powerful.
Yeah.
The image that the emperor is, the way he looks now, no one's going to follow that, for one, because they're going to see it as weak and, you know, it's a matter of just
image.
Image, very common in totalitarian countries. So while the Holonauts playing, they say there's going to be this huge parade, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to celebrate
also,
this.
Also, I have to jump in here, I'm sorry. What I love about this is you hear Steve Blum, how do you say his name? Great voice actor. He plays a lot of Imperials.
Yeah, he does. And probably most of them.
He's playing this one guy on the Holonet, and he goes, and Governor Price is starting a parade. Like, the way he says, like, I'm so happy about this parade, and you should too. That's why we should celebrate.
But anyway, that's going on, and it's interrupted by Gal Travis. Gal Travis, who we have last seen in, oh, good lord, what's the name of the episode?
Oh, Rise of the Old Masters.
Yeah, he was previously in that episode on the Holonet, kind of similar thing, too. And he encourages everyone to basically just boycott the parade, to protest the injustices that are happening under Imperial rule. And, of course, the pilot's like, oh, we gotta turn that off. And he's like, no, you asked for it to be on.
No, this is Imperial order. You told me to turn it on. It's staying on. But also, you have to, I don't want to spoil it because we're going just as a rewatch with Gal Travis. I would be hesitant to follow that because he told them, hey, Luminara is alive. And they followed that and what happened.
That's yeah, you start, you, I mean, kind of like Sabine, how Sabine was with Fulcrum, because so much of the intel was wrong, you know? Yeah, I can see that. Like, I'd be like, nah, I don't know about that.
But it sounds like, from the ghost, you know, he tells them boycott, you know, the celebrations and everything, and, it sounds like the ghost crew already had this plan that they were going to do this, though. It doesn't sound like they're, oh, we're going to do it, Travis is killing us. It sounds like they already had this planned out.
So, yeah, Joe tells them that there's a full blockade, in effect. They're, like, stopping people that are from trying to leave the planet or questioning people because they're, again, looking for this Rodian named Zeebo that Ezra apparently knows the name of.
Ezra, I know he has this moment where he's like, I just need some time alone.
Right. So seeing Zeebo obviously caused some sort of...
Oh, also the day itself.
And the day itself. At the beginning, he says, it's not a good day, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, he's just sad because the Empire's the Empire Day, and it's the day that Lothal kind of just wasn't free anymore, you know, as a planet or whatever.
And he goes back to his tower, and he gets a hold of this... I don't know if it's almost like a... It looks like a floppy disk. That's not what it is. It goes to some sort of transmitter or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding on to it, and all of a sudden he starts having these memories of his parents talking to him. And I think what I love about this episode is that it's this whole theme of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to connect with Lockhart, that failed. Well, now, I kept connecting this with, I don't know if y'all have played Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of moments in there where, when you're Cal, if you pick up certain objects, you have this connection, and you start having these memories of what happened.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So I don't know if this was like I think it was a Force connection where Ezra, there's a connection to things, because objects hold memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Ezra's kind of having this connection to, this thing has a connection to his parents, which we've never heard about at all until this point. He's hearing them in his head or whatever, and then he realizes... All of a sudden, he has this epiphany, like, oh, I know exactly where Zeebo is hiding.
Yes, and I also like how you hear his father, I believe, is voiced by Dee Bradley Baker.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah. And great voice actor. And he has that line about, we need to stand up for people in need. It's a little snippet you hear of him say, mm-hmm. which is interesting because, you know, and originally Ezra, when you first meet Ezra, he's kind of like very kind of self, kind of survived type of thing. So it's interesting that his dad would say something similar to... similar philosophy that he joined up with the ghost crew.
Oh, yeah.
Crew.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he remembers, he suddenly realizes he probably knows where Zeebo's hiding. In the meantime, the Empire Day is kicking off. Governor Price cannot be there, but she is mentioned in this episode. Minister Tua, who we, I think at this point, have seen before, correct? Is, I guess, in her place. And they are talking about how great Empire Day is, and they've got this new TIE fighter.
The parade's starting. With very upbeat Imperial March music.
Yes, when I first heard the Imperial March, every time I watch it, I laugh. Like, I can't help it, because it's the very ominous dun-dun-dun-dun, but it's like, okay, upbeat kind
happy.
Of dance.
Happy. Also, Kevin Connor, he composed this version of it. He composed an upbeat version of the Imperial March specifically for this episode for that parade.
It made me really think about Star Wars Disco.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the actual name of that piece that came out in the 70s. It's that song or that tune. It made me think of that.
Anyway, they got this fancy TIE fighter.
Yes, that Hera is hesitant to blow up. That's when we figure out, oh, they're going to blow this thing up. That's why they're here in the first place.
Yeah, and all of the exchange, Kanan's like, pretty, isn't it? I almost feel bad about blowing it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing. All right.
So in the meantime, like, that's when you're like, oh, they're going to blow up this brand new TIE fighter that they got on display. And it's going to be piloted by Baron Von
Rudolph,
who I think is the same pilot that was in the cantina. Am I wrong about that?
No, he is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to Google this. Have you ever seen the Star Wars Rebels shorts they made?
I have, but it's been a long time.
There's one short with Ezra, and it's him just being just rude to this TIE fighter. And I want to say the TIE pilot in it is Baron Valen Rudolph.
Okay. So anyway, Kanan's going to sneak into position to blow up his TIE, and, meanwhile, Sabine and Zeb get to do the diversion. So they, like, throw these special grenades. I don't know if Sabine created these. I don't know if they already exist in the canon. But they just make a big fireworks display. And, of course, Minister Tua is applauding Oresko, like, oh, this is great. You know,
mm-hmm.
Pretty good planning. We didn't know you had a whole display plan kind of thing. And he's like, oh, thanks. I didn't do any of that. So in the meantime, Kanan puts the bomb on the tie, and then...
My favorite moment in the episode. My favorite
moment is when he kind of gets caught by the two stormtroopers. Like, what are you doing here? And he's, like, playing drunk Kanan. Like, that's so pretty. The fireworks are so pretty.
And Ezra's, like, comes in and's like, oh, Dad, what are you doing? Like, gets him out of that situation a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ezra and him are walking away. He says, where were you? Because Ezra's just came back from the tower, and he says, making connections. Mm-hmm. Which I think is interesting.
Yeah. I'm taking the lessons you're giving me, and
I promise I'm putting them into practice.
I promise you I'm doing my homework. I do want to know, what does the Empire say that they're using these ties for? What are they telling the public that, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're claiming peace, and they're claiming they're supposed to hold the Republic Empire together. Mm-hmm. But you're making a bunch of ties?
Like, I mean, I think the people are aware that they're not peaceful.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure the people are like, we're gonna clap, yay, but y'all are a bunch of liars. I don't really... I mean, you better clap.
You better clap, yeah, kind of thing. So the tie does end up exploding, the stage collapses... immediately Minister Tua wants to figure out who did it, which, the way that Cat Susie delivers that line, it cracks me up. She's like, they ruined Empire Day! Like, that's the worst possible thing, like, you committed murder.
Like, how dare you?
Party. How dare you?
So she's trying to figure out who did it, you know, find whoever blew up your shiny new toy, and, Agent Callus appears.
And we haven't seen him since Stories in Distress, when he was fighting... Is that right? Or has he been here throughout?
You know what? I'm not sure. Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe he's appeared sporadically, but that's kind of the last time I remember seeing him.
Last time, probably the Ghost Crew.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Zeb wants to fire at him because to finish things with a laptop. And then they realize that the Inquisitor is there, and it's like, oh crap, we should probably shoot him, you know.
Yeah, when Kanan says, hey, if you want to take somebody out, take out that guy.
Yeah.
So Callus, you know, and the Inquisitor are there, so now they're trying to figure out who blew up the tie, but that's not their main goal. Like, Callus says, our main priority is the Rodian.
Right.
Like, we'll get them later, but they're not...
The main
objective. I know Tua over here is having a fit, but that's not the main concern right now.
Yeah. So I think they try to rendezvous with Hera, but I think there's, like, too many Imperials kind of scouting the area because of what happened, and also because it's Empire Day, and they're kind of collaborated in one area.
Like, yeah.
Probably pretty much everyone that's an officer... Imperial officer on Lothal is probably gathered in the same spot right now.
Yeah.
So they try to figure out another place to rendezvous, and that's when Ezra takes them to a place, and then it looks like a rundown house on Lothal, and that's when Sabine says there's an Imperial warning on the front. It says just to keep out of here, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And he takes that, what looked like a floppy disk earlier, and opens up the door, so it's
it wasn't a communicator to a thing. It was actually the key to his house. Yes. In a way. Kind of sad that he still has that, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that, oh, what other relics does he have from his past in that little tower he stays in? Maybe you think. So that's when they're like, oh, this is your house. He's like, no, this, you know, the streets were my home, you know.
I didn't live
here very long. Yeah,
which is kind of actually smart, because if he had gone back home, they probably would have caught him too.
Yeah.
Way to bring us down, Kelsey.
Sorry. Well, they ask him why here? You know, why are you coming back to this place when there's any other place we could hit in? And he's like, I just had a feeling. And when he looks down through this, I guess it's some sort of escape hatch, we see Zeebo, the Rodian, at the bottom of it. He's like whimpering, he's scared, and... So, they immediately noticed when they get Zeebo out of the bunker that he is speaking in some sort of gibberish, probably not a mixture of Rodian mixed with something else, like he's just nonsensical words. And that's when Sabine realized that he has cybernetic implants in his head, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's like a gear that they put. I don't even want to know how they go about doing that.
She says, removes personality for the sake of productivity, which is, again, very, very sad. It's like you don't really have a personality. You're almost a machine.
Yeah.
Because you're reading data that's being filtered into your head. It's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
So Ezra, you know, they're kind of like, oh, man, like, they feel really sorry. They're really sorry for this little Rodian, you know, being hunted. And he's got this unit in his head. And Ezra's attitude is completely different. He's kind of almost, like, angry, but also kind of resentful because the only information he would get from Ezra is, oh, Zeebo joined the information office after the Empire took my parents away.
So in Ezra's brain, it's like, okay, my parents are gone, and my friend of my parents just went up and joined up to the Imperial.
Yeah.
It does sound kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Kanan is sort of taken aback, and he's like, oh, this is the first time that we've actually heard you mention your parents.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you never, and he's like, well, I was, you know, I was 7 at the time, you know. He kind of, like, brushes it off. And again, like, I don't know if they thought he was an orphan, or he just never talked about his parents. Because I know in the first episode, he asked Sabine what happened to her parents. She said, Empire, what happened to yours? And he never answers the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops, actually, no, he tells Hera.
Does he?
I remember now. In the first episode, she says, well, we better get you back home. Your parents must be worried sick. And he says, I don't have parents.
Oh.
And she kind of looks at him all sad. So I guess they assumed that he is an orphan, I guess. So, I guess Kanan is, like, taken aback because, like, oh.
So, you actually knew.
Knew them, and, yeah.
So, Sabine works on the unit that's in the back of Zeebo's head, and she realizes that there is all kinds of stuff in his head. There's schematics, troop movements, weapons, a 5-year plan for Lothal, which I thought was kind of funny, because I'm like, oh, we get 5 years of the show! You know, that's kind of the way I looked,
yeah,
I looked into it.
And as she's working on Zeebo, he reveals something that actually is in English so we can understand, is that Ezra was born 15 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're like, oh, not only is it Empire Day.
It's just his birthday.
It's his birthday.
Which, if you know anything about Star Wars, you would also know that two other people were born when the Empire took over, and that was Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if they're the same age. Is he a little bit younger than them? A little bit older?
I could see them being the same age. I mean, can you imagine having a baby when the Empire takes over, though?
Yeah, that's...
And then after that, we just had a child, and now, look, like, I can't even fathom that. It would, I mean, I hate to compare this, but it would be like giving birth to a baby, and then the Nazis just occupy your town on the same day.
I didn't think about that. And of course, sorry, I'm trying not to get emotional. Birthdays are special in your life, especially when you're younger and you're kind of in your teenage years and you're growing up, and he's gone from 14 to 15, so just in the teenage rebellious phase, but also becoming a young man. And not having your parents there is very, like, to share it with you, can be very emotional, especially when they've, I don't know how to put it. Can you put it in any way that I can?
To put this in perspective for our listeners, we just had a birthday. And unfortunately, we've experienced some recent losses in our lives and our family. One's our mother. She passed away how many years ago today?
She passed away in January of 2023.
Yeah, so it's very fresh. And, excuse me. Birthdays... The people that you celebrate usually with your birthday is your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's natural for Ezra to feel sad and depressed on this day, because not only is it Empire Day, that's another layer to it, is Empire Day, but also...
It's a reminder that you've lost people that are you're extremely close with.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that they're not here to share it with you. And... That can be very, very painful.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's very hard. Very hard. So that we've got that vulnerability of being vulnerable with our listeners.
I didn't mean to talk. I'm not going to talk about all of it, but just kind of like that. Anybody, and not just us, but anybody that experienced any form of loss, any holiday, birthday, Christmas. Yes.
Thanksgiving, Easter.
Anything. Even if it's just like, I don't know, I'm just pulling a day out of my butt. Like, May 15th. my aunt and I would go every that May 15th. We would go, even if it's just a day that's special to you and that person that you were close to, when they're not there, you definitely feel it. You feel their lack of presence, but you also feel like, I don't know, it's just really hard. It's really hard to go through that. So I understand where Ezra's coming from in this this instance.
Yeah.
But also, he's dealing with the fact he doesn't have any clue. You know, we know what happened to our mom and other people we've lost.
Right.
He has no idea what happened to his parents. So now he's also dealing with that uncertainty. Like, are they alive? Did they just not come back in for me? Yeah, like, there's more layers to it, which is even harder.
So in the meantime, when that's revealed, they realize that the reason that Zeebo is being hunted by the Empire is because he's got a bunch of secrets in his head and he's just randomly walking around. Which I question how that even happened.
Did he escape?
Did he escape from after it was put in his head and just started randomly walking around?
He probably escaped.
Now they have to figure out how to get him off Lothal. Wow, there's a blockade going on.
Yeah, so,
so
have fun with that.
Have fun. So in the meantime, while they're getting him on a transport vehicle, you've got Commandant Oresco, who is forming a roadblock, and he orders his men to open fire on the incoming transport. So, this just reveals, again, the layer of incompetence that the Empire has. Okay, so you've got a transport vehicle with the person that you're looking for, and four other people that may or may not have been involved in blowing up a tie, coming at you at 50 miles an hour, and your plan to stop them is to stand in front of it, put your hand out, and say halt.
Well, you have to realize the Empire, though, they've never had any really... No one's really defied their orders. Which is why they call them rebel scum, because why on earth would you be a rebel and be rebellious against our order? So I feel like it's part of that, but also, like, they're going to stop. Like,
overconfidence. Maybe it could be overconfidence is the word I'm looking for. Yeah, that would make more sense. So Sabine, of course, is naturally saying, I'm not going to stop. You know, I'm just going to ram through it.
Yeah.
Which,
she does.
She does. And, of course, we've now got Callus giving chase and contacting the Inquisitor. And,
he heads for his own TIE fighter, because apparently the Inquisitors are going to go after him, too.
Yeah, so they, you know, so now we've got an Inquisitor that is chasing him in a TIE. And then we've got Callus and a couple other stormtroopers on a transport chasing this other transport.
So, yeah, they get through the blockade. Now they have some people on speeder bikes after them, too.
As well.
And they actually get a hold of, they like, blow the door out. Of the
they blow the door up, and then one tries to jump in, and Kanan kind of, like, hits him several times, and then...
My favorite part, when he literally, they knock him over, and then he force grabs the guy that's already in there and throws him out.
And the guy that he threw hits the guy on the scooter bike, and he's like it just spins out of control. I hope those guys are okay, but, you know,
I mean, who cares? At that point, quit chasing us. Callus is also behind. He has to go on top of the Imperial transport vehicle that's behind them.
And that's when the ghost appears. And the person standing on the platform is Zeb.
Okay. And he thinks his line is, remember me?
Yeah.
And he just immediately starts firing at him. Also, props to Hera for keeping that ship steady.
Yeah.
She was, following the transport at the same time, trying to get him on board. Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. That's probably very difficult.
So they... also
got Chopper blasting...
Oh, yeah, he completely blasts a transport vehicle away.
Well, it doesn't blast away, he makes it flip.
Still.
It lands on his side. Still.
So they start to board with Zeebo. And then as they're getting on board, Callus, he always has that last word, apparently, shoots one last shot at Kanan, but Kanan leaps in the air and deflects it and lands right on the hatch of the ghost, which is pretty awesome. So they finally get on board the Ghost. They're away from Callus. They got away, they got out of the transport. Mm-hmm. But now, the squad of TIEs are still after them. Mm-hmm. Inquisitor and all that.
Inquisitor, yeah.
And as this is going on, I think Hera says, I need my gunners. So, Kanan heads to his gun. Sabine's on her way to her gun. Zeb, Ezra and all them. Of course, I don't think Ezra ever gets to it because the ship gets rocked by
The blast
from the TIE fighters, and he lands on Zeebo. And Zeebo has this moment of clarity, like, oh, I know you. And he, like, grabs him by the shoulders, and he's like, oh, Ezra, you know, and he says something gibberish. And then Sabine translates that he says he knows what happened to your parents.
To be continued.
I mean, that's pretty heavy for it to be continued.
Yeah, it is. And I will say, usually this episode after this was usually, after the, in the reruns, I feel like they would do this episode and the next episode, they would air them at the same time.
Yeah.
So you weren't left, you know, if you're watching it for the first time, you weren't left hanging like you were the first airing of it.
Yeah. It's a good episode, though.
Yeah, I will say it's a pretty good episode.
Pacing is good. There's a lot of emotional beats in it that are good.
What would you rate this episode out of Lost Cats?
I love this episode, so I'm going to give it 8.
I think I gave it a 6.5 or 7.
No, I'm kidding. I don't care.
And the thing is, I really like the episode, but...
You like the next one better? I do!
Well, no, it's just like, I like both of them, but on its own, I don't know if I can give it...
I understand what you're saying.
On its own, I would need the other part to make an adequate...
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm going to lower mine. Mine's probably going to be 7.
Yeah, I'm going to say 7 on that. On it. It's a good episode, though. I like Henry Gilroy. I love Henry Gilroy's writing.
A little bit of trivia here. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt with that. So all of Zeebo's lines were written in English first, and then they were translated into the alien language by Pablo Hidalgo and the Lucasfilm Story Group. So everything you're hearing that Zeebo's saying, there's an English translation out there, which I kind of want to know. Also, oh, Joe, I never noticed it. He's wearing a translator.
Yes, because, so I don't know what type of species Joe is. I'm sorry, Joe. Their face always looks like an arm to me. I'm sorry. If you notice, he doesn't have a mouth. So there's no way possible that he would be able to speak basic.
No, he does have a mouth. It's on the side, and that's where the translator is.
He has a mouth?
Yes.
I could have sworn, like, he didn't have a mouth. And the reason he had a translator is because he can't speak basic because he doesn't have the mouth. He speaks in grunts.
Maybe he doesn't. I'm going to go look.
I'm going to have to look at it. See. But yes, he does have a translator on.
Okay, another tidbit, or trivia. So, back in 1980, this is from StarWars.com, and it's an article by Pete Vilmer. When the Empire Strikes Back was set to open with a royal premiere in London on May 20th, someone at the promotional team at Lucasfilm was inspired to resurrect the British Empire Day holiday, which has been observed by members of the British Empire between 1902 and 1958 to celebrate Queen Victoria's birthday on May 24th. So as a promotional thing, they thought, you know, having its premiere in London, they would have their own little Empire Day celebration. And I've seen, you can go and find pictures of it, where you see, like, stormtroopers at the premiere and, like, they're, like, promoting the Empire and stuff like that. I thought it was really cool.
Interesting.
They wanted to make Empire Day of England. That was actually a real holiday. I think they changed it to Commonwealth Day because it sounds less, I guess.
Interesting.
I guess. but to, like, tie into that with Empire Strikes Back, they, like, had a premiere of an Empire Day festivity, which I thought was pretty cool.
I didn't know that. Interesting. What were some of your favorite moments in this episode?
Probably Drunk Kanan. I don't know why. That's the first one that came to my head.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of little moments of Ezra remembering his parents. Like him hearing their voices and I think Ezra's overall connection and difficulties in this episode, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which will obviously continue the next one. Just
true.
Let's open to that. I like the little interactions with the ghost crew. So I like Hera and Kanan's little thing about the tie. Like, I'm going to be sad to blow it up. I like Sabine and Zeb's interaction with the fireworks. And I really, really like the interaction in this episode between Kanan and Ezra, which, again, is something that's going to continue. But, like, their relationship is just so wholesome because, one, when Kanan learns, like, about his, you know, his one, actually, he had parents and he knew about them.
Yeah.
He has that moment where he's like, are you okay? And I think, you know, it's nice to see that relationship with the two and him encouraging him to open up to him.
Yeah. That that means a lot.
Like, when he says, he's asking him, you know, sometimes it's okay to let go. I think that's also Cannon's way of, hey, you can open up. It's okay. Like, which is very, I think, very sweet between the two characters.
Yeah.
What would you say, what were some grows for you that the episode could have done better, or?
Maybe just the, again, I guess, I mean, they'd have to be incompetent, otherwise we wouldn't have a show, but just the Empire being, their competency is terrible again.
Yeah, I wrote that down, I was like, incompetency of the Empire, not recognizing them yet. One, yeah, and then
kind of a plot hole a little bit.
But I mean, I think sometimes the plot is called for it, you know?
Yeah.
If they weren't incompetent, we wouldn't have all the fun.
They get captured, then they die, and then that would be it.
You know, I say I first watched Rebels with Breaking Ranks. I don't think I got invested in it until these two episodes.
Yeah.
This one and Gathering Forces this really one, got me hooked on watching it.
I agree. Like, I, after, you know, Breaking Ranks, like, okay, it's interesting. But then when this, and then I had already had a relatable connection to Ezra. I was like, oh, I kind of want to know that, the answer to that question, you know, that was left hanging. And then something, I had to watch the next one. But then I had to watch the next one, and it was kind of like, yeah, this was the moment where I was like, oh, I get, you know, really invested in these characters and their journey and how it was going to end up.
Mm-hmm. Which we know how it ends up.
We do know.
All right, guys, we'll catch you in the next episode. You can follow us on YouTube and X, and we will see you next time.